B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah. Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can call us at 617-779-0985. And if you're watching on Twitch, I would imagine you can see that Rich Shurtleib is back for the first time since March of 2020.
We have the whole crew finally here, except for Dan O'Brien. If he's off like hiking the Himalayas or something.
did he send you guys texts?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He's drinking beer everywhere imaginable.
Yep. On top of mountains and in the middle of creeks.
Yes, he's very into showing us that indeed he is in Colorado.
I got a picture of him standing in front of a mountain, like flipping me off with a big smile on his face. I'm like, oh, that's great.
But if there was any non-TNR employee that I'm glad I saw first, it's Billy Lanny, so I'm glad that he's filling in this morning, which is nice. It's good to be back. It's nice. It's like you know, Sunday morning, I got in late Saturday night, and Sunday morning when I went out to go walk my dog, it took me less than a minute to see my first pile of vomit, about 2 minutes till I heard my first F-bomb, and less than 3 minutes to see my first gentleman having a very angry argument with the sky, and it felt good at that moment. I realized that I was indeed back in Boston. It was good. You miss all of that, but it was nice. You guys don't realize how amazing it is to be able to eat at like places that advertise on TV and like on our radio station. Like, what a gift from the gods that is. You don't realize how amazing it is until you can't do it.
How many restaurants did you frequent? Or how many restaurants did you order from? Well, what is the choice on the island there?
So, well, I mean, it's mom and pop places, and there's only a handful of them. And for the last 5 months, only a few of them have been open. And now they're starting to open back up. But I mean, I got off the ferry in Hyannis probably around like 6 p.m., first stop, Taco Bell. Not done. Second stop, Chick-fil-A. Finished up the dinner. Third stop, Dunkin' Donuts for coffee. I triple dipped. I don't think I've triple dipped since I was in college on the way home. And since then, like yesterday, it was like Shake Shack, Bolico, Flour.
I mean, I just... Well, you need a dessert? Flour?
Well, it's the peanut butter and jelly sandwich that goes on the side with
that's
everything.
Right. Okay.
I mean, getting off that boat and just doing the triple dip, it was like that scene from Shawshank where Andy Dufresne is sitting on the roof just drinking the beer. It was like, life is good after being robbed of all those things. But, yeah, so I'm going to get so damn fat now that I'm back. I've got this basically list of restaurants I've been deprived of for the last, like, 14 or so months. So,
because how long was it before you even ate someone else's food?
You mean like a restaurant's food?
Yeah, like a restaurant's food.
Oh, well, we knew near the beginning that like takeout was fine. So no, okay. I was eating takeout there. But I mean, as I said, there's no like chain restaurants over there. It's all these mom and pops, which are good, but you know, you don't have much of a choice, and you're sitting there watching, you know, Bruins games and Celtics games, and there's these commercials for like the double stack loaded griller at Taco Bell, and you can't have any of that, and it sucks. So we did a lot of Gold Belly, so I did get some trash can nachos for myself, John Wallach.
One of the best gifts I got.
I can't believe you made them as they come.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
They give you a bag of warm beef.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it's supposed to be.
It was awesome. It was great. I had a great time.
You think
it.
If you made those nachos without the warm bag of beef, they would have not been as good?
Correct. Would not have been as good. It would have deprived me of the full experience.
Yeah,
I needed it.
Some listener sent me, which I appreciate, but sent me the trash can nachos from Gold Belly, and I took one look at the bag of meat, and I was like, no.
So it pains me to say it. The trash can nachos I have had in two different Guy Fieri locations. I've had them in Vegas at the Guy Fieri one. I've had them here, and they're delicious. The mail order ones fell a bit short.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where I talked it up, yeah. And it was like, it's funny, I actually ordered it, and it arrived like a couple of days before my son's birthday, so I tried to like pawn it off as being, I got you something special for your birthday. And so he's like, yeah, Dad, that sounds cool. You know, he saw the trash can, that's great. And it was, I could tell the first bite, he was like, this is disgusting. And my son will eat anything.
He probably saw you make it. For those of you that don't know, trash can nachos are tortilla chips, cheese, and beef.
And like an ass load of like barbecue sauce, yeah, or whatever that is.
Well, that's right. And it's like sugar barbecue sauce, yes, too. It's
and
not,
that's what ruined it. That's what ruined it for me.
Yeah, I looked at that, too, and I told Nick, I go, I think, because I was curious what Guy Fieri food tastes like, because, you know, I'd never been to one, I still haven't been to one of those restaurants, and so I took the barbecue sauce home, and I'm like, oh, this is like sugar barbecue sauce. I'm like, I don't want this.
It was like I have two sons. One of them is the politest kid in the world, and one of them will go, you know, basically tell me to go to hell if he wants. I mean, they have two different attitudes. So this was like the polite kid's birthday. And like, he took the first bite, and I was like, so what do you think? And he goes, well, Dad, I know you like it. Oh. And then I'm like, all right, well, I effed up, and I took a bite. I'm like, this is gross. Uh-huh. And it took me like less than a minute to tell him, you don't have to finish that. It's disgusting. Let's put in a pizza or something like that. So, yeah, so I did some Gold Belly, and some were good, and some were wildly disappointing.
Yeah, it's never the same. It's never the same. You get something, and that's the worst thing about Gold Belly, is that I know I do. I'll go, I mean, Buddy's Pizza is good, but you go, oh, it's Detroit pizza. Like, oh, you got to try it. And then you get, like, all excited, and you're like, I remember. And then you make it, and you're like, yeah. There's a reason they make it in the restaurant. There's a reason that it's different. There's a reason that, you know, there's a whole situation happening there.
We ordered a buttload of Waffle House waffle mix and hash brown mix, too. And that was the one, like, thing that delivered. Like, it tastes just like... And you learn that they put in those waffles like basically an entire container of half and half. So that's why when you bite it, it tastes so good. But also, it's about like 98 grams of fat when you take a bite into one of those things.
Yeah. Anything that's half and half.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to know how the sausage is made.
No, you do not.
All right. So so you are back, and everything gets back to normal now for you. Everyone's back in school and everything else.
One of my kids is back in school. One of them is not. He's okay. Going to finish off the year remote, but one of them goes back today, which is good. So he's excited.
You might see him. Is he local here?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, mm-hmm. Boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is he taking the train?
No, he's being driven this morning.
Okay. Because I didn't know if you could look out the window and see the parade of children.
No, he's being driven this morning. So it's first day. I kind of feel bad because it's like
I would take my kid in the car the first day too.
Oh yeah,
because he's swinging back in there.
I'm nervous as hell for him. I'm legit nervous for him because it's like a brand new school. He's never been there. He's like doesn't know any of these kids, and he's like now coming in. And there's a bunch of kids that are still remote, but still you're like. You know, you're walking in there having no idea, and there's only like a month left in school. I'm kind of freaked for him, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can understand.
And I'm sure there are a bunch of parents who kind of went through the same thing, you know, recently too. But, yeah, so if he gets through this week, we're good. That's all. Just
gonna
get come through the
back,
week, man.
He's going to come back. His knuckles are going to be all bloody. He's going to kick two kids' asses.
Well, that's how it works. It's like prison. I told him. You pick the toughest kid and you punch him in the face.
Yeah, that would be kind of crappy if you were just like, hey, get out, go on the train, figure it out.
It's prison rules.
You're going to school. All right, well, very good. Very exciting.
This is good. And we got the plexiglass here, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, you know. It saved us all.
It's all scratched up. You're like in a fog. Two plexiglass planes.
It's like got like funk on it from 1,000 spit takes. It's like, yeah.
You'll get used to it. I have a feeling these are going to be up for the rest of our lives.
You're probably so, right.
For as long as we're here. All right, Rich, what's coming up? Lots of action.
You got play-in game fever? Woo! Because that's what we're heading towards. We'll also talk about that Bruins game from this weekend as well.
All right, we will be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. My son had a baseball tournament in East Lyme, Connecticut this weekend. And on Saturday, like, all the kids were, like, swimming at this pool at this hotel or whatever. No one knew who the hell I was. No one knows. No one in the softball team I coach knows who the hell I am.
Isn't that good, though? Don't you kind of want that?
Yeah. But then at a point you go, well, we're doing a radio show that's supposed to be dominating at these guys' income and age levels. No idea. No idea that who I am or that I'm on the air. Because you'll say something and then they'll go, oh, yeah, like, well, how'd that happen? And you go, oh, and I go, oh, yeah, yeah, I do a radio show. And they'll go, where? And they'll go, like, 98.5 The Sports Hub. And they'll go, huh, I'll have to check it out. And then you're like, oh, wow.
Now, I've learned that half the time they're just being dicks. Like, because half the time, and I'm not trying to say this to think, pat us on the back. A lot of times they'll say something and slip up that will prove that they knew. And they'll feign that they didn't.
I don't know. These guys are pretty good poker faces then. And they weren't, it wasn't like everyone was going around sharing what, like the Bruins were on and something. I forget how it came up like organically. Mm-hmm. No. It wasn't about the Bruins. It was about Brookline. Because we were bitching about the mass rules places. And I was like, oh, yeah, we were monitoring this Brookline City Council meeting and everyone thought it was so funny. And then I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, we play Brookline 911 calls. And they're like, wait, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh, I just assume that you. See, I'm telling you all these things in these scenarios and you're thinking they're all very funny. This is what I do for a living. Like, it'd be nice if you were listening to that. But
no respect in the Little League baseball circuit.
Little League, the softball my daughter plays on. I was talking about like it's a school, and then this one guy was trying to help my kid get into school. It didn't work out, but the and then he's like, "Oh, how'd you know that guy?" And I'm like, "Oh, I have a radio show." And then he's like, "Oh, what do you guys talk about sports all day?" Like, I'm like, "Oh, wow." No one knows who we are.
How about the soccer people? Soccer people are very sophisticated. Surely they know who you are.
No. See, my daughter's at the age of soccer where these are people I will never see again in my entire life.
Oh, okay.
Like, my daughter's in fourth grade, and it's a third and fourth grade town soccer. So, like, these are people who, this is probably it for their kids playing sports. And I had the same experience with my son. Like, I'll never see these people again. Their kids will disappear into another world, where they'll probably all become, you know, multimillionaire inventors and stuff. And I'll never see him again. Those kids move on to different things.
It's always the weirdest places, though, that I'm recognized the most. And I think one of the weirdest, without fail, every time I go there, the Great Wolf Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I'm there with my kids,
that's
I bring them there.
To me.
Like, oh, it's like, for some reason, you walk into the Great Wolf Lodge, and all of a sudden, you're like, you know, Eric Estrada or something.
From the moment I got in the front door, I was standing online into that S-curve right before the front desk. Waldeck, where you at? Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, like, Newport. Newport, Rhode Island is like that. I think anywhere where people are drinking, maybe it gets their memory going a little bit more.
Maine is the same thing. You're right. Like, it's like, you know, out of state or some place like that, if I go to Maine, there's always a ton of people who recognize me as well. But I mean, Great Wolf Lodge, you walk in and it's like, "Sir, would you like unlimited tokens?" Like,
ooh.
You bet your ass.
I didn't know that could happen.
How about extra toppings at the Hungry Like a Wolf pizzeria? Bitch, I got the hookup.
Yeah. That's the thing. Well, they canceled my trip to Great Wolf Lodge because it was when everything was shutting down. But yep. I could have enjoyed that VIP scenario.
Oh, it is great. I've not worked my way up to the status level to where I get a free magic wand at the wizard store.
Thing I care about is getting on the front of that line at Dunkin' Donuts at 7 in the morning.
Yeah, that
the line is all the way down the hallway.
There's no right reason any line anywhere should be that long for anything.
Oh, man.
Well, they know they have you.
I got you.
Yeah, very true.
There's no rush. Create the false line. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Are you ready for the play-in tournament?
Noel keeps it alive, but right to Taco Bell. Here comes Parker. Did I just say Taco Bell?
Oh my God. You must be hungry, bro.
I need to get some sleep.
That's how interested Mike Breen was calling the Celtics game yesterday. Couldn't give a rat's ass about who was on the court because the players on the court you're most likely not going to see playing this week as the Celtics lose to the Knicks with their scrubs. And now we head to the pre-postseason, if that's what you call it. The play-in tournament, a place that the Celtics had every chance to avoid over the last few weeks, but said, screw it, let's take our chances. They finished the season at 500, which sounds about right. And now we get a Boston versus Washington game on Tuesday night. A Washington team, John, that has been playing their ass off as of late. And by the way, they got Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal and a lineup that absolutely wants it right now.
It's interesting. Washington is, earlier in the season, they were horrible. And I did one of their games, one of the few games I did during the season was against the Wizards at TD Garden. They were blowing their doors off. And it was actually a microcosm of the season. The Celtics had a mammoth lead and then almost blew a 27-point lead. Mm-hmm. It was me and Brian Robb doing the game that night.
Oh, the Robb Bot 2.0.
Yes, and yeah.
He was overcome by emotion.
Yes, he was during the big comeback. But the Celtics won both games at home, but the second game, the last meeting between these two teams, Celtics were down 3 in the final 15 seconds and somehow managed to win. And if you remember, Bradley Beal had the last shot and missed from the corner over Tatum where the ball bounced on the rim and fell off. The Wizards should have won that game. Washington's playing not just a little better, far better than the Celtics are right now.
I got to be honest, I'm shocked every time I think of that Wizards team, because how can you have Bradley Beal, who I don't know if he's the scoring champion this year. I know he was on his way and he's up there.
He finished second to Curry.
Okay, because Curry was on fire at the end of the season. And then you've got Russell Westbrook, who's just setting triple-double records. How you can have those two guys on the same team and be as underperform as much as they did. I think this is the first time they've been in the top eight in what? Like forever?
It's
like
been a while.
Since the beginning of the season.
Well, that shows you that it's how you construct the team, too. It's not just having the two individual great players, it's constructing around it. I mean, Miami is, I was listening to the fan because I was in, you know, Connecticut. And the whole thing is no one wants to play the Heat. No one wants to play the Heat. Why don't you want to play the Heat? It's because it's the way they're constructed.
Yes.
Yep.
It's not.
They just ran it back from last year, and it took a while for them to rediscover that chemistry. But once they did, away they went. And the other thing about the Wizards, and don't forget, they were in the playoffs. Remember the Kelly Olynyk game in the playoffs? That was against the Wizards, game seven of that series. I think it's been 4 years since they've been in. But Russell Westbrook, as good a player as he is, doesn't necessarily lift up everyone around him either.
No.
That's the thing. He stuffs the stat sheet. He's got rebounds and assists for days, but he's not the guy who's going to win you a championship as the number one.
That's just a team that by accident you would think would perform better than they did. I don't think, you know, you're right, Fred. You have to have that perfect construction in order to win a championship. But I mean, the fact that they weren't even sniffing, that they've been a lottery team basically this entire season until just now, they could still end up in it, but still. That is just, it just seems odd to me. So if the Celtics win, they'll play the Nets in the first round. Oh, boy. If they lose, they'll play the winner of the 9-10 game between Indiana and Charlotte, and the winner of that one plays the 76ers, which I'd much rather play than the Nets, but then again, that's like saying I'd rather be punched in the teeth than punched in the nuts. They're both going to be extremely tough. But Brad Stevens had this to say about the play-in game.
Playing Washington, I mean, obviously Washington's rolling. They're a heck of a basketball team. You know, obviously it starts with Westbrook and Beal, but they've got great size. They've got a lot of different ways that they can play. You know, they can go small with Ishmith and Neto and with those guards and be super fast and hard to keep in front. They can go way bigger with shooting, posting. And so they're a handful. Tuesday night's going to be one heck of a challenge.
Oh, and that tip off for tomorrow night? 9 p.m., baby, which means about 9:20 till you actually get to see some real basketball. And now, by the way, thanks to the West Coast, the play-in tournament is actually going to rule because Wednesday night, for those of you willing to stay up late, you're going to get the potential game of the year. The Lakers will be fighting for their lives against the Warriors. LeBron's going to want it, and as we're saying, Steph Curry right now is just on another planet. So after the Bruins hopefully win game three, you can flip over and hopefully watch LeBron lose a big one. But that's going to be that game's going to absolutely rule.
It's the last place LeBron wanted to be. He had wanted no part of this, but when we had the Bankroll Boys in here on Thursday, and Joe said this, and I believe he's right, I mean, the Lakers have just been waiting. I mean, we really don't need you, LeBron. We really don't need you, Anthony Davis. Let's just make sure we get a spot in the postseason, and then we'll destroy everyone who's in our way. Does anyone really believe that Utah and Phoenix are going to meet in the Western Conference Finals?
I think Utah will be there.
Maybe, but not both of them.
No.
I mean, and the Lakers, if they win, get Phoenix.
By the way, speaking of Utah, is there anyone more disrespected than Nikola Jokic? I mean, he is by far the obvious MVP choice, but there is this weird-ass campaign going on. Players must hate the guy because LeBron James, even after his last game, was saying, "Yo, Steph Curry, he's the league MVP. He's going to win the MVP." And I heard some other players saying the same thing. Like, what did Jokic do to piss off everybody?
Doughy and white.
Maybe.
maybe
that's the case. Maybe he doesn't look like who your MVP should look like.
I don't want a doughy white guy mucking up the mix.
That could be the case.
He doesn't look cool.
No, he does look like a human bag of potatoes, but the guy has been unbelievable season.
He's going to win MVP. Yeah. And and Curry is just having a good time. All he wants to do is score.
He's
just
effing with guys.
All of a sudden, people are very concerned with the scoring title, which I thought was funny. It's something that you never even hear about. Like, whoever cares about the scoring title? And Steph Curry, he's very proud of himself. He pulls up his jersey. He's having a blast. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Oh, we got someone very close to the show who's getting into the Hall of Fame, and then we'll talk a little bit about those Bruins.
And I want to separate these two thoughts. The guy that we're very close to getting into the Hall of Fame, I'm surprised he's not already in there.
Me too.
Very good. The other thing I'll say is the Basketball Hall of Fame is, I mean, why would you go? Why would you even go?
What are you talking about?
Next year's class.
There are some that deserve to be there, and there are some that do not.
Next year's class is the Hall of Fame is insane.
Right, well, we'll get to that.
This guy was okay.
There are about six guys that should not be in that are on the list this year.
That's fair.
There's a decent amount that should be.
There are at least five, and arguably a sixth.
But the big names are big. Like the big names are big, but you're right. There's a whole lot.
Top heavy, but there are a lot of guys who are like, really?
In the 2021 class,
Well, this class was,
all
this, time.
No, the one that was just announced yesterday.
Yeah, there's one Hall of Famer in it. There's one. And the rest of the guys, what are they, high school Hall of Famers?
Well, Hall of Fame for players, yes.
One of them I went to high school with. He was not a good pro.
If you look back, it's...
get out of here if you look back.
Just dominant the first 5 years.
Your stats.
He's the best.
We shall have a stat duel.
I followed that guy's career? I've known that guy since I was 12 years old.
Even with stats, I'm barely hanging on. Seriously.
I loved when he played, but he's no Hall of Famer.
No, he's not. I agree.
I liked his hair. And then there's another guy that was a Hall of Famer for 1 year at Tech, and there's no reason he should be in the Hall of Fame, but he's better than Weber. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They've got the insiders.
Jaffe, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, the big Hall of Fame festivities. Yeah.
Yesterday, on the heels of Kevin Garnett and our buddy Jim Gray being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I know Tom.
Yeah, right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom.
Stedman. Yeah.
Oprah knows my wife.
I mean,
we're all friends. So why not have it? So that's what that was.
Yeah. And I can picture a family, a kid. He's 12 years old. He's grown up loving the NBA. He loves basketball so much. The family doesn't have much money, but it's his birthday. All he wants, is a pair of socks or something. And the dad goes, I got us a trip to the Basketball Hall of Fame. And the kid goes, oh, my God, he's crying. I finally get to see Jim Gray.
Oh, the barnacle. I heard Stedman actually introduced him. So there you go.
I thought that was a joke.
I saw someone tweet it to us, so I'm not sure if that's the case.
I thought that might have been a joke, but I don't get the joke, so I'm taking it. Maybe it's real.
Well, he bragged about knowing Stedman right there, so that might have been the case. Well, it was announced that the 2021 Hall of Fame for next year, we'll include none other than KG's buddy, Paul Pierce, which I think we all agree he deserves to be in.
Of course.
Yeah. Also in the class, Fred, Chris Webber.
Chris Webber was a massive failure as the number one pick. He was supposed to, he, from the age of 15, was the, I can tell you, was considered like the future of basketball. I still have, for some unknown reason, pamphlets from when his Detroit Country Days school took on Jalen Rose and Vashawn Leonard's Detroit Southwestern. They played at the Palace and sold it out. I mean, this kid was supposed to be the second coming. And then he's part of the Fab Five, which is, I would imagine, the most exciting
college basketball team of all time.
Yep. And then they go and they go to two finals and they lose to the superior Duke team the first year, and then the famous timeout, which is a game they were going to lose anyway, against North Carolina. And then he goes in the NBA and he does nothing.
Didn't his teams get to the Western Conference Finals?
Maybe. It's so funny. Like, these other Hall of Fame suck. Chris Webber was fine. He was probably the best player on his team for 5 years. And so that's all it takes? So take a team every year. Take 30 basketball teams. Take 30 basketball teams.
Uh-huh.
And take the best player.
Mike Bibby.
And then, toss them all in.
Let's go Mike Bibby. All right. You can take Kings or Atlanta. Where do you want to go?
Who's the best player in Oklahoma State?
You mean Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City.
Right now?
Lucas Dort.
Okay, so he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I love that guy.
Good. You love him. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Al Horford.
Could be that guy Pokuševski.
No, more like it. Al Horford. Okay, yeah, so Al Horford.
It is Al Horford.
All right, so fine. Well, you could have not been cute, and you could have made my point.
Yes.
Is that, okay, so Al Horford should be in the Hall of Fame. Great. So take every team and take their best player and put them in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Weber doesn't pass the smell test.
No, Weber wasn't a great player.
John, is there some insane stat that I don't know about? Okay, I've not looked it up.
No. He averaged about 20 points a game for his career, and during those years we were just talking about with the Kings, he averaged like 24, 27, 20. But more to Fred's point, and we say this about the Baseball Hall of Fame, but it really should matter for all Hall of Fames. You just say his name, and within 2 seconds you should know one way or another. You shouldn't have to study. You shouldn't have to go, well, he made this amount of finals or averaged this amount of points. Chris Webber is good to maybe very good if looked at in a certain light.
Yeah. Okay, so the Baseball Hall of Fame is the only Hall of Fame that matters. We've discussed this, and they're doing their best with the Mussinas and Blylevens of the world to ruin that. Yes. But nonetheless, I didn't even know Mussina was in.
Yes.
I was having a conversation with someone because I'm a dork the other day. They're like, he's not in the Hall of Fame. They're like, yeah, he is. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But okay, so you got Chris Webber, who doesn't belong in there, and then you have Ben Wallace, who really doesn't belong in there. And I loved Ben Wallace.
They inducted the wrong Wallace. Where's Sheed? Let's get Rasheed in there.
Is he eligible?
He should be.
Well, Rasheed Wallace was better than Webber, Wallace, and Bosch.
Bosch. You know, but listen, I'm not a big fan, obviously, because of the team he played for. Bosch deserves to be in.
Bosch doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he does. I mean,
for what?
Well, first of all, he was part of three championships.
So
third best player.
Yeah, and so
And some of those playoff runs, he was the second best player.
So put Paxton in. Because Paxton was on three championship teams.
I think Bosch's numbers are really good, too.
I don't care about Bosch's numbers. Bosch was an afterthought. If Bosch got hurt during those series, maybe they don't win a championship. Maybe they lose in a game seven. But they certainly make that was Wade and LeBron's team. Bosch, we know Bosch. We made fun of Bosch for being an afterthought. He shouldn't even been at the hype place.
And then he proved himself as the years went on.
Oh, he did not. Yeah. Bosch is it. He limped through the end of his career.
Well, he stinks. Here's the studying part of it, and I didn't think this is true. He made the All-Star team 11 straight years.
Yeah, because he was by default. John, if you put...
Five of those years were with Toronto.
Why did he make it when he was with Toronto? Because he was the only player on that team. And then you put him on the Miami team where it was on television. They were on television.
His numbers with Miami weren't nearly as good.
For riding on a raft. What were his numbers in Miami?
His numbers in Miami, he averaged just eyeballing at 16, 17 points a game. 8 rebounds a game.
He was also sharing it with like 2 other guys.
All right, then he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
He wasn't the guy. He was the guy in Toronto and had big numbers.
Okay, so it was like Webber. So, okay, again, my point is take every team in the league, take an expansion team, and then take the best player on it and then put him in the Hall of Fame.
He's also one of the reasons that they won championships. I mean, he was important in those playoff runs.
All right, Bosch was a pain in the ass. Then Tony Kukoc should be in the Hall of Fame.
Actually, he made it this year.
Yeah, you know how he made it. He made it because of the international shenanigans.
Kukoc is egregious. Kukoc is along with Ben Wallace. That's egregious.
I'm surprised he's not in the Hall of Fame, but he does deserve to be in. If anything else, just for drinking in the shower.
Yes.
But
having that six pack on the ledge.
But the Basketball Hall of Fame is not the NBA Hall of Fame. So Kukoc is probably in because of his international play. Which is,
I think he shenanigans. Is. I think it is. Didn't
really?
Didn't they indicate it's international?
Yes, I'm sure it is.
All right.
And so, but anyway, I would put Kukoc in. Then Kukoc is Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. The best players, the stars should be in. The stars, the people that are the stars of the team, not the supporting cast. That's ridiculous.
You look at Webber. You look at Chris Bosh, and you think Hall of Famer or not immediately.
No, Bosch, I probably would have said yes, just because I know the standard. Like, I know who's in the NBA Hall of Fame. Now, no, if you're asking me if I could change the Hall of Fame.
In a vacuum, you say the name Chris Bosh. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I would say if it was my Hall of Fame, the way I set it up, I would not want him to be in there. But that's the way that it is.
No one had a Chris Bosh poster. No one outside of Toronto, when he was on those teams, they were terrible. And then he cried his way off to go to a ready-made championship team. He stinks, and I loved Ben Wallace, but he couldn't do anything. And he's
Ben
not
Wallace was what? He was primarily known for his defense and his rebounding.
And by
correct?
The way, Ben Wallace was more responsible for the Detroit championships than Bosch was for the Miami championships. And I still don't think that Ben Wallace should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the funny thing is, you look at Wallace and you're like, okay, he's better known for his defense and rebounding. And then you put his numbers up next to Dennis Rodman's.
Well, Rodman's just absurd.
Well, I mean that's the standard, right?
Yeah.
Rodman led the league in rebounding for, I think, 7 or 8 straight years.
But then Rodman up against Will Chamberlain, right?
No.
That's the standard.
No. The standard for that type of player, Rodman was the best of the best of that type of player in basketball history.
Yeah.
Rodman was a star. And so,
and went there and was a key contributor on 2 different championship teams.
Yep. And was a star.
Also, yes. Bill Russell will be inducted as a coach. But the best news yesterday was that our good friend, Mike Gorman, got the call yesterday as
well. Not Yolanda Griffith.
I'm sure that was a big news, too, for her. But he, too, Mike Gorman, will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Yesterday, during the game, Mike was asked about receiving the call.
Couldn't be more excited. One thing I want to get in here, you're only as good as the people around you. And we get good people around us here. Paul, Jim, Zach, Jeff,
Fred,
Scal, mm-hmm. Tommy.
Always forgets us.
Abby, I've been blessed with good people. Perk, who still owes me a gold chain.
Gotta ask
about
that.
Just very blessed with the people that I've been able to work with. And again, you grew up like I did in the city of Boston. You spent your youth listening to Kurt Gowdy, so to be in the same sentence with Kurt Gowdy, that's pretty cool.
I read an interview with Chris Forsberg that he did with Mike, and he said that he's going to push to have Tommy Heinsohn posthumously inducted, and I believe that would make Tommy the first 3-time inductee to the Hall of Fame as a player, as a coach, and a broadcaster.
Hey, Gorman talked about that on the broadcast multiple times yesterday.
Yeah, you have to induct Tommy Heinsohn. I mean, they always induct people posthumously, right? Haven't there been like people who've been put
positive.
In?
Positive, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no reason, listen, as much as we love Mike Gorman, you can't induct Mike Gorman and not induct Tommy
Heinsohn.
Well,
let Gorman have his day. Let Gorman have his year. Let him.
He will. Well, I mean, this is his year. Yeah, next year, hopefully, it'll be Tommy's.
Well, then don't. Yeah, let Gorman have his year. Speaking of the WNBA players again, who cares? They can let in as many as they want. It doesn't bother me. But if you do things like listen to ESPN Radio, which had on, you hear during drive time, apparently there was a 30 for 30 or some kind of documentary about the WNBA, and it was considered on their airways as very controversial because it called out the network for not supporting it enough. And so the argument that the host made was, well, what about the NHL? You know, and they didn't talk about the NHL. And then the woman goes, oh, well, the reason they didn't talk about the NHL is because they didn't have the broadcast rights. ESPN had the broadcast rights for WNBA, and so they should have been talking about it more. And to that, I would say, why? Why? Why do they have to do anything? Yeah. Why? If you want your league to be a regular league, why do they have to do anything? Make it popular.
Are you telling me that if there was some sort of sporting event that they did not have rights to that was getting ratings through the roof, that they would just ignore it?
No. But they had the rights to WNBA.
That's what I'm saying. Her justification was that they were talking about, the reason they weren't talking about hockey was because there weren't the rights to it.
Yeah, they were not talking about hockey because there weren't the rights to it. And so that they had the rights to the WNBA, so they should have been talking about it. And the thing is that why? As charity? Like, they should have just given you charity? They should have talked about it out of the goodness of their heart? So the players make more money because it's more... That's so stupid. It's not amateur athletics or anything. You're a professional organization. You talk about what you're going to talk about. Now, they froze out. The most egregious thing is freezing out the NHL because they might have which again is their prerogative, and I'm not saying evil ESPN, but they froze it out. Now it's on every time you turn on the TV.
Yeah, because they just bought the rights.
Right, exactly. But to freeze out, I mean, that's like almost like a monopoly situation. But I just like that they entertain this. It was on for the. I mean, you're driving. I'm not worried about switching the channels. Just, you know, and they didn't talk about the WNBA enough. Oh, well. I mean, they'll all have to go to their graves with that hanging over their head. If you want someone to take your league seriously, don't act like it's a charity organization. They should have talked about it. No. Everyone's fine. Everyone's in the business of making money. And the reason the ESPN froze out the NHL is because they didn't want anyone watching it on the other networks. They knew that if they promoted it, that it's an actual sport that people would watch on other networks. The WNBA, I'm not convinced. I think did they have to take the WNBA because of some deal with the NBA?
Yes, that was, I do know that. Like there was a, yep. I forget how many years ago, but it was very well known that if some of these networks wanted the rights to air the NBA, they had to buy along with the package.
That was part WNBA of it, right at the beginning.
So you already got your charity.
Right at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, so the only way anyone would take your league is if it was packaged and you had to. That's not the way that some, and you would think that, you know, it was some South Africa in, like, you know, the late 70s or something, like, where they were jailing people because of the color of their skin. It's like, no, you're just boring.
By the way, speaking of the NHL on ESPN, you're right. They're obviously showing a lot more. But I find it hysterical that apparently Wayne Gretzky is the hottest girl at the bar right now. All these, like, between TNT and ESPN, there's a bidding war going on for Wayne Gretzky to be one of these analysts. God. Apparently, he has shunned already a $5 million offer from ESPN.
Yeah.
TNT says, we'll give you more than that. Jesus. And to that, I say, I don't even think Wayne Gretzky's that good at the job.
No, he's terrible.
Yeah. So
remember when they tried to make Joe Montana an analist?
That's a great comparison.
I had heard a couple years ago that Gretzky wasn't in the best place anyway. Hopefully he's in a much better place now.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason, God, these people are dumb. The only reason, obviously, they want Gretzky is because he's the only hockey player anyone knows.
I mean, that's a fair point.
So make a star. Make your star.
You need a personality. How do they not get this?
Pat McAfee has made, I don't think he's like a multimillionaire, but Pat McAfee has made a great career for himself.
Yep.
He was a punter. So if he was a punter or not a punter, he'd still have a career in media.
Fred, Dan Orlovsky, let's talk about him.
Right.
All of a sudden, he's like a talking head that people want up there.
Chris Sims.
How about Kendrick Perkins?
Chris Sims.
Kendrick Perkins, yes. You know, was the fifth best player on a team that won a championship once. And all of a sudden, he's getting this brand new deal on ESPN because he's great.
Right. And hockey players
are hundreds of hockey players like that. Hundreds of them that have good personalities, that can speak. I mean, we had, what was it, Ken Danico. Ken Danico is not a superstar by any shape of the imagination.
No, and these
and
guys
good have, at what he does.
And these guys have lived lives unlike other sports where they've actually had to travel by bus in the middle of nowhere, and they have stories. And
some guys get punched in the face for a living. Those are some of the best personalities you could put
on
TV.
What's Aaron Ward doing right now? Because wasn't he doing TSN for a while?
Yes, he was.
He got his job back.
Okay, good, because Aaron Ward's good at his job. Like, he does a good job talking trash to these guys.
I think Aaron Ward would be very good, but I think that you could get, if you had the balls and you really wanted to do something, that you could get a guy that was controversial and funny.
I've been saying Sean Avery.
Sean Avery doesn't have a good personality, though.
He's hateable.
Yeah, but he doesn't have, not like
you gotta
that talking.
You got to put two words together. That's the other
he's
part.
Not good, he's not good at talking. He's like, he's affected. He's like, acts like he's in the.
He's Trevor Bauer.
No. He's not that dumb.
Oh, all right.
No, his interests are like in art and
fashion and stuff.
Fashion. Like, it's not something that would translate.
Just bring Roenick back.
Roenick was very good, but bring a guy who doesn't care and is funny, who's outspoken and funny. And you can find a lot of hockey players like that. I mean,
Marchand will have a career waiting for him when this is done.
Sure.
He'll be excellent.
Yeah, Marchand would be good at it. All right, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.